the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
I don't know whether people remember this programme or have seen it recently, DIY SOS, a programme in which families, when it first started off, it was families were in houses where they'd started a DIY project and then lost interest, or it had gone wrong, or they just didn't have any money to finish it off. They didn't know where to go. It's become something more to do with sort of helping particular projects in need. But it started off with this sort of half-built houses, and Nick Knowles, with his trusty, plucky builders, would come in and resolve this problem for them. The families themselves, and this is the point of the story, they were half-hearted. They'd lost interest. They were actually dashed in their hopes. They couldn't see this would ever be resolved. They couldn't see a better way to live. And these guys came in and they opened up their eyes to a new way of thinking, a new way of seeing. And I think at heart, that's the message of Haggai. Haggai is saying, look to the Lord, see new things, stop losing hope and refocus. Chris has already introduced that a little bit. And if nothing else, just keep that in your mind. Have you lost hope? Then look towards Jesus. He's the one we're building for. Hold that in your head. We're thinking about Haggai, but I want to look at Ezra. You might want to flick back, or I'm just going to talk through it a little bit, because Haggai is actually a prophet who spoke at the time of Ezra. So a bit of background for you. I think it's important to have that. You look at Haggai and think, two chapters, what on earth is this all about? You look at Ezra, and there's four or five chapters about what's going on. People were coming back from exile, and they came back in three waves, three groups. The first group was headed up by Joshua and by Zerubbabel. I'm going to have trouble saying that later on, I know. But Zerubbabel. And those two led the first return into Jerusalem. And they were the people who were starting the building work. The next group included Ezra, and that's the book of Ezra. And the third group, probably most well known to most of us, is Nehemiah. So you get these three groups that come across. So this is right at the beginning of the return into Israel. And there's a lot of detail in Ezra about what's going on. So you have this return, and they started to build, and they were building the temple, or the foundations of the temple, and they built the altar. And despite the fear of the people around them, it says in Ezra, they built on the foundations and sacrificed burnt offerings to the Lord, both morning and evening sacrifice. So it was an outdoor sacrifice. There was nothing happening temple-wise apart from foundations and an altar. But they'd started. They'd made a start. And as they praised God and as they worked together, they were celebrating. But some people were disappointed. Verse 12, many of the older priests and Levites and the family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundations of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. Those who remembered the old ways, those who remembered what had happened before, were in some ways disappointed. They thought, oh, the previous temple was much better than this. Much, much better. They were looking backwards, not forwards. They'd lost hope. So we've got people starting to build the temple, some people disappointed, some people joyful. Great, we've heard about the temple, we're here. Leaders look back. There was opposition as well in chapter 4. There were neighbours and enemies, people saying, oh, we'd like to come and help. And Joshua and Zerubbabel said, no, we'd want to do that ourselves. We want to get on with it ourselves and want to continue and commit our obedience to the Lord. So they continued to work in the face of opposition to start with, but then letters were written and governors, and they lost heart. And in verse 24 of chapter 4, thus the work of the house of God in Jerusalem came to a standstill until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So all this good work, this restoring work, this building work, this temple work, came to a halt. And then onto the scene steps Haggai. And in the book of Ezra, there's only two verses given to Haggai. Haggai is one of those prophets who you might call a successful. Most of the prophets do all this prophesying, and everyone goes, not interested. You know, Jeremiah, look what happened there. He just prophesied all the doom and gloom. Isaiah, people just do not seem to listen. But Haggai, Jonah, They had to call the prophets where people go, okay, let's do it. And they get on with it. So you get these two verses, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Ezra and Haggai came to the people. Haggai prophesied and the work restarted. Amazing sermon. I wonder what was in that sermon. Well, we know. Haggai chapter 1. Let's have a look. Let's turn to that page. That's all the background, but it's useful to get that background as to what was important, and we'll come back to that idea of why things like the temple matter. Firstly, what's the Lord's message to the people through Haggai? Well, the first thing is that he challenges the people on. He says, they're saying to me, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. The time has not yet come. We are not ready to do this. We don't think it's the right moment. Hang on a minute. You started a while back. What's distracted you? What's taken you into new areas? And essentially, they seem to be saying, it's not convenient for us right now. We've lost interest. It's not important to us. Mark Twain says this, never put off till tomorrow what may be done the day after tomorrow just as well. Procrastination. Do you do it? Do you ever do it? Here's a moment. What distracts you from doing what you really should do? Turn around and have a chat to a friend. What sort of things distract you? It might be apps, might be other things in life. Just a moment. What sort of things distract you as we start to think about priorities? 2 or 3 minutes. Okay, anyone want to share, and honestly, what might distract them? Here's mine. Doing something that actually can be done now rather than something that's difficult and going to take a long time. So I'm happy to do the easy, quick jobs, and I do a lot of them before I get onto the difficult job. I just want to do that because it's just easier, whether it's filing something or whatever. Anybody else want to share other things that might distract them? Honesty? No. TV, okay. Yeah, thank you. Sometimes the TV, we just watch something, watching a series. Traitors, was that, did that occupy anybody's mind recently? I don't know. Yeah, anything else that may distract us or just we procrastinate because of? Walking the dog. Yeah, okay, time to be out and just go and enjoy that rather than do the big jobs you should do. Yep, go for a slightly longer walk sometimes. Yeah, that's great. So there's all sorts of things that we do that just get in the way. We just get distracted. Maybe they just take away our priorities. We're not motivated enough to do it. When we're thinking about Haggai and what the call is, their call is to come and build the temple. God says to them, come and build this temple. Now, before we go any further, this is not a talk about come to church. Okay? This is not a talk about build the temple, build the building. We've been privileged to have this building for many years now, and many people committed to being part of it. But I think the story of the Bible and the temple is a much, much bigger story than that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 says this. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The story of the Bible is the story of a temple. The story of the Bible is the story of a temple. From the garden where God dwelt with his people, because that's what temple means, is where God dwells with his people. From the garden to Revelation, it's a story of dwelling with God and God dwelling with his people. And we have those lovely verses that Steve spoke about last Sunday morning. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, made his home with us. We see the temple picture again and again in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament here, 1 Peter, Ephesians 2, 1 Timothy 3, Revelation 21. The story of the Bible is the story of temple, where God wants to dwell with his people. So the message of Haggai is not about you're not building a building. It's you've been distracted from the best thing you could possibly do, which is to dwell with God. You're paying attention to the wrong thing. Your calling is to be living stones in this living temple, in this place where God dwells. And the world will look on at this temple and go, wow, that's what it looks like to live with God. These people are doing this. It's a community thing. I love the songs that we had earlier on. And the first one, or was it the second one? but I wonder whether we might sing it maybe afterwards. Again. Could we sing it with we, not I? We will worship. We will bow down. It's a corporate thing, isn't it? It's a joint together thing. Because we are being built like living stones into a temple. The story of the Bible is the story of temple. So the story of Haggai isn't about failing to build. It's about not paying attention to being with God. So these living stones, that's what you and I are. We're called to be that today. And whilst that might not have been an idea in Haggai of living stones, it is an idea of build God's house, the place where he is seen to be dwelling with his people. So what sort of things are there that distract us? What sort of things were distracting the people in Haggai's day? I think there are three things which we can pick up from Haggai and from Ezra, which challenge us to think about how might we be distracted from our time with God, our place with God, our community with God. What priorities might we be being called to have? Haggai chapter 1, verse 3. You're spending too much time, says the Lord, building your panelled houses, preferring your own comfort and sorting yourself out before thinking about your space with me. Now, having just finished some building work in my own house, I feel it's very apt to be asked to preach on this, to think, what are my priorities? Because you can spend a lot of time worrying about all sorts of small detail, about getting it right. But actually, the question, challenge is, what's the bigger question? What am I trying to do? We tend to prefer comfort. That is human nature. It's not we should be uncomfortable and suffer, but the preference in Haggai is we want comfort rather than to spend our time thinking about community with Jesus, community with God's people, community with the Lord. It's easier to look after ourselves than to join together in this place of shared worship. So that's the challenge. Do we prefer comfort rather than building God's work? Secondly, I think we want perfection sometimes. The people in Ezra, particularly the Levites and the older people, they were looking back. They were looking back to moments of blessing, maybe moments of greatness for the nation of Israel. And they were going, it's not like it used to be. It's not like it used to be. It's not as good as it used to be. They were measuring it by the past. They were thinking about what it was that had been like before. Maybe there are seasons in your life when you've thought to yourself, that was great. If only it could be like that again. If only I could go back to that place, to that camp, that conference, that church, that worship, that Sunday, that season in the life of Belmont, whatever it might have been. If only it was just like that again. And we're looking backwards all the time. But we're called to look forwards, actually not to look to the future, but to look to Jesus, the King. To look to the Lord who calls us to work in his temple, to work with him. And third, have we lost confidence? Have we lost confidence? They came back, Ezra 4:4, they were scared about opposition, Haggai 1:6, they were unsure, they were unclear about what they needed to do. They were thinking about just their own things. And they were, sowing and reaping, but not getting much from it. Nothing was really happening. They were disappointed. So I think they lost confidence. They'd forgotten that God had brought them back from Babylon. They'd forgotten the miracles. They'd forgotten the great stories. They'd forgotten the hope. They'd forgotten why they'd started well. And here was a building with scaffolding all around it. And they'd gone and done their own thing. I think those are the challenges that Haggai is making to the people. You want your own comfort. You want things to be as they were. You've lost confidence. And the antidote? The antidote isn't suffer and compromise and be arrogant. The answer, Haggai says, is come to the Lord. Trust in him. Respond to his word. Do what he asks you to do. In Hebrews chapter 3, there are doubting and drifting Christians
in Hebrews. I mean, Hebrews is a great book to read alongside Haggai. There's sorts of questions. Why should I hope? Why should I live? What's going on? How do I keep going? How do I keep going? And within it, chapter 3, the people are called to pay attention to the word of God. Don't harden your hearts, it says, as you did in the wilderness, to disobey. But instead, listen to the word of God. And one of the lovely things in chapter 3, verse 13, it talks about, is encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Encourage each other to keep living well. It's hard to do it on your own. That's what Hebrews says. We need each other. Hebrews 10, encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Encourage each other. When we get isolated and do things on our own, it's much harder to be a Christian. Much harder to live well for Christ. But those Hebrews in the New Testament were encouraged to encourage each other, to speak well to each other, to remember the words of the Lord in all that is going on. So as we're building temple together, as we're living with Christ amongst us, can we encourage each other with stories of God's work, of God's presence with us, God's life amongst us, the things that we know that are happening that are good, the things where we need help to just build well? Because the story of the Bible is the story of God's dwelling with us. It's a story of temple. And we're asked to pay attention to it. Haggai chapter 1, verses 6 and 9 to 11. Haggai says to them, having told them or challenged them about building work and attention and priorities, he then says, have you noticed what's going on around you? Give careful thought, he says. Give careful thought. If you're from Yorkshire, you might say, think on. Think on. Which, you know, give this some consideration. It's a very northern phrase. Just think on. That's what he's saying to them. Notice what's going on around you. You've planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Disappointment comes their way. Disappointment is all around them. And Haggai is saying, don't you notice? Something's happening here. Now, I'm not saying that if you obey God, all will be perfect. What I am saying is that when things are not going well, often God is using that to point us back to him, to drive us back into his presence, to make us think about, the true life I need is in Jesus, is in God. I don't believe in a prosperity gospel that if you're obedient, you'll be rich. That's definitely not what the Bible says. But the Bible does say that suffering is often there to drive us back into the arms of God. And Haggai is saying, think on it. This stuff that you thought was going to be great when you came back from exile isn't as great as you hoped. Have you thought about that? Things aren't as good as you wanted. Because you're not paying attention to God in your midst. Come on, wake up. They've been living as though they were rebellious. Deuteronomy 28 and 29 talks about this covenant of and covenant response. Will you be a rebellious people or a faithful people, Moses says to the people. And they come back from exile, having been gone into exile because they were rebellious. And the characteristics of the life they were now seeing was actually the characteristics of rebellion again. Even though they'd been rescued and brought back, they were seeing the stuff of cursed and hard work land. And Haggai is saying, don't you notice? This is a call back to covenant faithfulness. This is a call back to being the people of God, to dwell with the Father. This is the challenge of Haggai. It's not just get on and build. It's will you be the people you're called to be? Will you be the people you should be? Jesus said, this was his satisfaction, her obedience. When he did the right thing, when he was covenant faithful, Jesus says in John chapter 4, when the disciples say to him, hey, it must be lunchtime, surely you want some food. Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Jesus was completely satisfied by obedience to the Father. So to follow and to be obedient and to make a priority of God is not a hardship. Jesus says it's a joy. It's satisfying because it's dwelling where I'm supposed to dwell. It's knowing God is with me. It's knowing that I'm in the right place. This is the food that I need. This is the food I want to live by. Sarah read the second reading from Luke, which I wanted just to have a different perspective. And I love that moment at the beginning of it where Martha opened her home to Jesus, so the dwelling was happening, coming to live within the home, the temple, the sort of cohabiting with God thing going on. Well, that's great. But then she got distracted. Does that sound like Haggai? Does that like sort of sound like the same thing? She got distracted. And the Lord says to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen better. She's listening and sitting at the feet of the Lord. Now, there's all sorts of stuff around this passage. I don't think Martha's being told off for doing stuff. She's been told, corrected for being distracted. Having opened her home so generously and so practically, it's not about not doing things and just sitting and listening. And Mary is listening, and she's doing all the in the presence of the Lord. Martha just didn't even notice in there. That's the thing that's wrong. She was distracted from the one who was right in her home, who was the living God. She'd lost focus on who was there. The story of the Bible is a story of temple, God dwelling with his people. And Martha lost sight of it. And here's the call. Choose the better thing. Choose the better thing. Choose to notice Jesus in your midst. Choose to notice the temple in our midst. And to make it a priority to live with Christ in our homes, in our lives, in our church, as our focal point, to dwell together with the Lord and Master, the King. So, Chris said, we're called to action, the specific actions to do. Get back and build. Yep, well, we haven't got any building projects going on here right now. But I wonder whether there's a few things we might respond to. Chapter 1, verses 8 and 12 and 13, give us some of the responses that happened to the message. Verse 8, go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honoured. So the purpose of building is so that God would be honoured. Not to have a great building for your own reputation, but so that God would be honoured. Get on and build so that God might have the glory. That's the calling that all Christians have. Second action for the people. They obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. They worshipped the Lord. They came before him in honor and awe and majesty, recognizing who he was. So time for action. Let's put Jesus first. Let's go up into the mountains. Let's get on with it. Whatever that is for you this week, don't procrastinate. Put it in place. Whether it's the way you're handling your work and you need to put Christ more first in that, whether it's the way we handle fellowship at church and house groups or serving, whatever it is, how might we take action to put Christ at the center of our week this week? And how might we worship Jesus in all that we do through him and by his Spirit? The people obeyed and heard God's word. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. Here we go. That image again of presence and dwelling and alongside. I am with you. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. Joshua was the priest. Zerubbabel was the governor, the civic authorities. It wasn't just the leaders who said, let's get to it. All the people were stirred up. And guess what they were stirred up by? The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. The Lord came and stirred them up and encouraged them and motivated them and equipped them. That's the same Spirit that's at work in you and me. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The same Spirit that equips us day by day and sends us out to be his people. The same Spirit who tells us, go and share the story and live the life this week, building and telling people about my dwelling with you, my presence with you.
Give careful thought to your ways. Go up and build the house. Jesus says at the end of Matthew, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Another builder, another worker. We know the story well of the two builders, don't we? House of rock and house on the sand. I wonder whether our lives and our weeks this week are going to be a DIY SOS project, or whether they might be different. Are we going to be people who dwell with the Lord and know his presence amongst us and seek that and work towards that and give ourselves to it? Are we going to be people who hear these words of the Lord to put aside our own choices, to take up our cross and to worship him in obedience? Because that is true food and true satisfaction. What sort of buildings will we build this week? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Thank you that you are at work amongst us now and have been before and will be in the future. Help us this week to live for you in all circumstances, not just in church, but throughout the whole of our lives. May we be people who are your dwelling place in this community, and may people see the light and hope of the world. We ask this for your glory. Amen.